This story, commonly referred to as the conversion of Paul, it's an interesting story. I suspect that many of us know at least the bare bones details of the story. A guy named Saul travels to Damascus. Something about Jesus, some blindedness, God sends somebody, scales fall from his eyes, and then kind of bing, bang, boom, Saul becomes Paul. Right? That's about it. Saul, he was a good guy in the face of Judaism. He really was. By his own admission, he had as much reason to boast of his religious achievements than any other. He says, circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. I sure would like to be able to say that. He was really well respected in the religious community, so much so that he had the permission of the religious authorities to go out, capture those people. In the reading, it was people of the way. Those were the Jewish people who followed Jesus. And he had authority to go out and arrest them and to bring them back bound to Jerusalem. The authorities would not have given this kind of license to just anybody. So Saul was living his life with confidence in the way that he believed was totally and completely in line with upholding the faith that he loved very much. So I wonder if that gives you pause the way it does me. This man who was so sure he had it right. It makes me just a little bit uncomfortable. So Jesus met Saul while he journeyed toward Damascus in search of all of these people of the way. And Jesus shares some words with him. A couple of things to note about this exchange. One, which I think is probably the most important, Jesus doesn't smite him. Lots of people like to believe that God craves the destruction of those who do not believe or those who work against God. But that certainly does not appear to be the case. Instead, Jesus has plans for this guy. And then secondly, Jesus' question for Saul, why do you persecute me? Shows how much Jesus stands in solidarity with us. Because Saul's persecution of the followers of Jesus was Saul persecuting Jesus himself, which aligns very much with our belief in what we hear in Matthew, where we're told that if we clothe the naked and feed the hungry and visit the imprisoned and so on and so forth, that if we do it to a neighbor, we do it to Jesus. Anyway, so Saul goes forth to Damascus as instructed. And this is the part I find kind of interesting. It's the part that gets left out of our little skeleton version or our recap of the story. And maybe it's because Ananias is just a really weird name and it's hard to say. But regardless, Ananias is a really faithful servant of Christ. He's faithful enough to recognize God's voice the first time around. When he's called, and his response, just like Samuel from the Hebrew scriptures, who it took three times to understand it was God's voice, Ananias responds, "Here I am, Lord." He's told to go and find a man of Tarsus named Saul and to help him. And this is my favorite part of the story, because Ananias says, God, That guy has a reputation, and it's not a good one as far as we are concerned and my people. He's got permission from the authorities to capture us and take us back to Jerusalem. And we can hear Ananias saying, I think maybe you've got the wrong guy. He might not be so receptive to me going for a visit. But God assures Ananias that those things might be true, but that God has plans. And so, by some incredible amount of faith, Ananias goes and does as God asks. Can you imagine the kind of guts it takes? The blind faith it took for Ananias to leave the comfort and safety of his home that night to go see someone who is known far and wide as a persecutor of everyone who believes what Ananias believes. As I dwell on his faith, I wonder to myself why we don't find him to be more memorable. And I suppose my hunch is that he becomes a casualty of the story because Paul is like household name, right? He becomes such a big name in our faith. But I really think that Ananias, to whom God speaks, is worthy of our note. And furthermore, when he arrives at the house where Saul is staying, he greets him by calling him brother. So not only has he faithfully followed God to this man who 3 days ago would have bound him and sent him on his way to Jerusalem to be dealt with, but when he arrives, he calls the man brother. And again, I'm inclined to ask if someone who demonstrates such grace and faith and love towards someone who has shown such hate, if it makes you look inward, as it does me, and whether you find yourself somewhat in awe. We all know the end of this story. Ananias lays his hands on Saul, and something that is like scales falls from his eyes, and he becomes the most prolific author of our New Testament scriptures. Saul, now Paul, is the one who carries the message of Jesus to the Gentiles. That's us. Paul's devotedness to Judaism isn't changed, but it is transformed into devotedness to Jesus, the fulfillment of the covenant the God of Israel made with Abraham, Paul's people. Paul knew intimately the love of a God who saw him trying to do his best and then who reoriented his zeal to better serve that same God. Paul knew what it was to be in the presence of the risen Christ and to receive grace. Paul knew what it was to have the hands of a man who should have despised him, laid on him, heal him, and call him brother. This story, known as the conversion of Paul, is a story of great faith. It's a story of a man who was firmly fixed in faith, a man who had the experience of being redirected by God to a new path, and who followed that path faithfully to the end, no matter what trials came. And Paul did encounter trials. But it's also the story of another man whose faith was so big that he followed God even when everything else in the world would have told him to stop. And this man showed grace and love to an enemy because he believed that God did already too. So today I learned two lessons about faith from these two men. The lesson from Ananias is that sometimes Sometimes our faith may ask us to go somewhere from which reason would have us stay away. Perhaps the place where we would find ourselves most uncomfortable is the very place where we are being sent. And then from Paul, we learn that a deep faith isn't afraid to be set on a new course, a new path, to be radically redirected to a new mission. In both cases, faith is not at all about comfort or happiness, but it's about a deep trust in God's love that springs forth this incredible willingness to follow and serve. May God's Spirit work such deep faith in each of us. Amen.